Mic check.
Mic check. Test 1, 2.
Yeah, I got you, Josh.
10-4, good buddy.
Do you do that when you join a race? Do you do the mic check?
No. I'm Josh.
I'm Rob.
And we are everyday iRacers, just like you.
It's been a little while since episode 30, huh, Josh?
It's been a few weeks.
We're getting some flack from some people in our Discord. Like, what's happened to you guys? Where are you?
We're still here. We're having fun. We do this because we love it. But yeah, sometimes life gets in the way, right? But we're not going anywhere. We're still here. We've got lots to talk about. So
let's get on with it.
Here we go.
You made the list. I haven't even looked at the list. So I'm going to let you be the ringleader.
Yeah, what have we done the last couple weeks? I think the biggest thing that jumps out is Petit Le Mans. We double dipped, not once, but twice. Didn't win either one. I don't know. Is that something we'll do again? But it was interesting. We always tend to do the first race of an endurance session. And this was the first time that we ever said, you know what? This isn't going as well as we hoped. Should we start a second one? I don't know. Kind of mixed feelings. I don't know that we'll do that again unless we crash out.
Look, we did it because we had four drivers for a 10-hour race. So there was some free time on our hands. You know, if you're doing a 12-hour race, you've got three people, and it's too much to do it twice, right? So I think that kind of helped contribute to it, you know? The other thing, I was the most ready of any of the endurance races we've done. You too, you know? There were four of us on the team. Usually our two teammates in Australia are quick and snappy, and we're third and fourth place for speed, trying to sort of hold on and earn our place on the team, right? Fair enough?
Fair enough. It's not that we're studying the night before the test, but, you know, there's always room for improvement from you and I.
Road Atlanta, I have that track dialed in. It is my track.
Well, it's mine too, and I live an hour from it, so I'll arm wrestle you for that. You know what? All the stints I drove, I think I got a total of 2x. Mm. So, you know, a big recovery from Le Mans, big boy Le Mans for me. Yeah. I feel so comfortable at that track. Same with you, right? You win races on that track.
I won my second road race practicing for Petit Le Mans, right? I did the IMSA race.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always complaining about the LMP2s, like taking me out, right? But anyway, jumped in for good practice and I won. I mean, that was awesome. Anyway, we had some bad luck in the endurance race, you know, guy spun out in front of us or got punted off, you know, stuff that just was out of our control. So, like you say, we had like 2 hours left and there was another race that was starting basically, you know, 2 hours before ours finished. And we decided to jump in and give it a second go. The first time we were put into a split that was pretty high. We're like, 1500 kind of IR guys. And then we have one guy on our team who's like a 2000. And we were put into like a 2000 split. So that was pretty tough. But the second race that we jumped in, we were put into like a 1500 split, kind of where we should be. Yeah, it started out great until my computer crashed. I got pole position. I was leading the race for the whole first stint. My stint was almost done, and I got like a black screen of death.
I don't know. Do you ever nail that down? Do you ever figure it out?
It hasn't happened again, but I investigate it with iRacing. You can send their support team certain files. You send them your app.ini and your DX11 and some error reports and stuff. They tell you what to send them. And they'll look at it all and tell you if it's kind of a hardware issue or their problem or whatever. And they came back and they said it was a GPU issue.
Okay.
Anyway, I think that maybe one of my power cords wasn't properly seated in my GPU and that might have been the issue. But I've ramped up my fans to cool everything down a little more. And I don't know. Hasn't happened again.
Yep.
We'll see.
You know, we also had a couple other teams from Everyday iRacers community jump in there. And they did really well.
They did awesome.
I mean, one of them won the race in their class, right?
Exactly.
The others had a little bit of bad luck, but EDI Black got first, and they were in the same split. And was it EDI Gold?
Yep.
Got fourth place and had to fight their way back. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun to see the two teams in the same split.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, apart from Petit Le Mans, what have you been racing in the last couple of weeks?
You know, your enthusiasm for Porsche Cup is catching. I haven't run a race yet, but I've been out and practicing and enjoying that car. Spent a lot of time on NASCAR. I think you and I both did some NASCAR. And I'm trying to figure out, what do you call If it's not a short track and it's not a super speedway, is it just a normal track? Like Texas, maybe Homestead. I don't know what the right word is. Maybe some of our NASCAR friends can tell us. But I think you and I are starting to venture out into maybe just some of the mainstream NASCAR tracks.
Not just
tracks.
The super speedways, right? Not the short tracks, but like the middle ones.
Yeah, the normal ones. So yeah. It is that it's a rhythm. There's a rhythm you get going. So I think I've enjoyed doing that. Certainly have jumped in some F3 races and had a blast doing that. And a little bit of LMP2 at Watkins. I couldn't resist. I know you're not a fan of LMP2 drivers. I think you've just been tainted by the IMSA. The LMP is a fun car to drive. And I jumped in at Watkins last night and had a blast with it. A
little of everything.
A little bit of everything. I haven't settled into a single series for this season. What about you? What have you been up to?
I've been doing a little bit of everything as well. It's interesting. We started this season and I kind of thought, you know what? I'm going to maybe just do all the Porsche Cups. If I know the track or I don't know the track, you know, I'll learn it and I'll focus on it and I'll study VRS and make sure I'm ready for the races and go off and do it. Like when we started iRacing, but it hasn't panned out that way. I learned Hungaroring with the Porsche Cup and really glad I put the time in to learn it. Did well in the Porsche Cup. But then there were some other tracks that I haven't spent a lot of time on and I didn't have the enthusiasm to go through that whole learning process with it. Like, for example, this week, right now it's at Road America and I'm way off pace. I haven't really done much at Road America since you and I were in Skippies at Road America or something like a year and a half ago. I don't know how I avoid it going to Road America because it's everywhere, but I did. So the Porsche Cup is there this week, but last week VRS was at Road America. So I kind of feel like everybody's already got like a week's worth of practice in on it. You know?
I think you're actively avoiding it now.
Yeah.
2 weeks in a row and two series that you typically run.
You know, I don't have as much time to race as I used to, you know, like 6 months ago or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying like the last couple of days. I've done some NASCAR races. You and I did one NASCAR race together at Texas. It was like an hour long. It was awesome.
100 laps.
The week before that, did a big Richmond NASCAR race, did a couple of truck races. I've been doing a couple of dirt road to bump myself to that A license kind of thing. I've just been kind of like picking and choosing and kind of having some fun. Did a few laps around the Nürburgring in the GT1 car because it's Nürburgring.
And GT1.
And it's GT1. So I'm just kind of having fun and not really focused on a big prize at the end of the season.
I get it. You know, I don't think we checked if we're in the same division. We're both roughly the same I rating now. But maybe, you know, maybe in January, if we're both in the same division, we can pick something, VRS or something, and kind of compete like we did. That was fun. It was, for me, it made it more compelling to compete against a buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Check in each week. How you doing? Oh, yeah? I'm up by 13. Okay. I got two more races I can run. You know, that
little
element.
A little bit of trash talk.
A little bit of pressure to, get your race in that week. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a league, but we sort of create our own little competition around it. And maybe that's what drew us in, whereas just jumping in and racing against 1,028 other people on Division 7 is a little less meaningful. So
Right. That was fun.
And you came out on top, so it was probably even more fun for you. I think I need a rematch. So I'll talk you into something when the season comes back in January.
Now, we kind of tried something like this because we joined the league 6 weeks ago.
Yep.
We were pretty gung-ho, did week one, did week two. You and I are basically neck and neck, just like we have been for the last year and a half. And then it petered out. Not because of lack of enthusiasm, but the time of the day that the races were got in the way with family, basically.
That's what it boiled down to for me. I just, there were things with the kids that I couldn't get out of. And reasonably kind of still contribute to being a full-fledged member of my family. So as much as I would have enjoyed that, I wasn't willing to give up family time, right? Important family time. And it wasn't just sitting around eating dinner on a Thursday night. It was, you know, events and things like that and getting to see the kids do stuff. So that's all part of it. And for me, it was prime time hours in the evening. For you, it was prime time hours just before dinner, just after the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's hard to find a time that works across multiple time zones.
Yep.
I don't know.
let's just talk about the league for a sec. There are things I enjoyed about it. There are things that I didn't dig about it, right? But one of the things I really did enjoy about it was we basically put in an evening of practice, get our lap times sort of sorted out, make sure we were competitive, and then we'd go out and race. And, you know, you and I were neck and neck all the time, and that was fun. So I enjoyed that part of it. Now, one of the things that I didn't really like about this particular league was there weren't enough of us in it, really. And there was too big of a spread of skill level. There were like 12 people in our division or something, and I was definitely competing for like for seventh, which is fine. It's real world, right? It's like Formula One. Not everybody's going to compete for the first four spots. But there's something to be said for like a larger league. If I was in a series that was all like 1500 IR racers and I was racing the same guys every week, that's appealing. I like seeing the same names every week. You know, people do become predictable.
And there's heroes and villains. And if someone feels terrible about what they did, you know, they can kind of communicate that to you.
Yep.
There was an announcer and the league was broadcast. The handful of times when I wasn't able to make it, I did watch parts of the race.
I liked having it on YouTube because I was able to send it to my dad and go dial in the race and watch your son come in eighth place. You know, he enjoyed it. He liked watching it. So I thought that was kind of cool.
So we enjoyed it. It wasn't for lack of, like you say, interest and enthusiasm that we didn't fully complete the league. Would I do a league again? I would. I don't know that I would want to get in one that was too much longer than 6 weeks.
6 weeks was perfect.
All right. Well, that was our league experience. You know, last week we talked about some historic updates. There's a lot buried in the release notes over the many years that iRacing has been in existence.
I'm excited.
All right. I went back 7 years to 2014 season one.
Wow.
And so in the 2014 season one update, they released the Lucky Dog. Lucky Dog is something that you and I have both been privileged to be chosen for.
I keep an eye on it now.
Oh, yeah. Because it gives you a reason to race. If you get lapped, all of a sudden you have a reason to kind of fight those guys to get that Lucky Dog. So, yeah, it wasn't part of iRacing for the first, 6 years that it was around. And they added it. And so what I'm kind of finding is that a lot of the details around how something works are buried in these release notes. They never really make it into the documentation. And maybe some of this stuff did. But what they kind of lay out is, what does it take to get the Lucky Dog? And we both kind of know the answer to that. And it's really like, what's the first car that's not on the lead lap? But what's kind of interesting is, how do you not get picked if you're still the first car? You're a candidate for a Lucky Dog. And here's the things that will kind of keep you from getting picked. If you were involved in anything that happened to cause the current caution.
Okay.
If you had a black flag at the time of the caution. Or, this is what it actually says, if you do anything stupid during the caution, before the Lucky Dog gets waived. So you're kind of in this probation period.
Really?
Yep. And it says, so here's the quote-unquote examples of the stupid things you could do that would keep you from being the Lucky Dog. If you get a black flag, if you crash into someone, etc. So it's not just those two things. There's other things that'll get you on
basically,
the naughty
list. Basically, if you get an X.
Yeah.
If you get an X under yellow, you're hooped.
You got it. The best remaining candidate after that will get waved forward a lap as you cross the start-finish line while the lead cars are pitting. So in NASCAR, the lead cars get to pit first. So if you and I are at the back, it won't say the pits are open until after the lead cars have pitted.
Oh, that's what happened last night. Okay, keep going. Yep. I was confused about this. Interesting.
Yeah, and then this is something else that we've kind of wondered while we're racing. The Lucky Dog cannot pit while they're on their catch-up lap. So the pit entrance will be signaled as closed for you as you do your extra lap, and then you can pit behind the other lap-down cars. So when you kind of get that wave around, you can't pit. You got to go around again.
Cool.
Rob, last week we had talked about the night-day cycle. It was introduced in 2019 season one, and we kind of wondered.
I have an update.
Yeah.
So I was amazed. Like, they didn't do the 24-hour Le Mans back then? And the answer is, no, they did do the 24-hour races, but they were either 24 hours of daylight or 24 hours of darkness. So there was no day, then night, then day again kind of thing. No, the sunrise, sunset. It was just day or night. It must have been pretty cool when you were able to do these 24-hour races and you'd go through the hot afternoon and then the sunset and then darkness settles and you have that lonely evening going down the Mulsanne Straight at Le Mans for 6 hours and then all of a sudden the sun comes up in the morning. So
You know, I was trying to think right now, what's my favorite part of day for a 24-hour race? And I was thinking, okay, I think I like, you know, sunset is a fun time to be in the car. And then I was thinking night is kind of a special time. And then sun up, pretty cool to see that sun coming up. And then midday ain't so bad. So I don't know. Can I say I like all of them?
No.
I don't know which one. It's my favorite child. I don't know which one I would pick.
I like sunrise.
I think I like sunset. The one last update is from not so long ago. It's from 2 days ago. And Rob, here's the best part. This was in 2021 season 4 patch 2 hot fix 1 for those of you keeping score at home.
Okay, one sec. Stop the presses.
Yeah.
This morning,
yes,
when I turned on iRacing, it asked me for an update, right? You want to update everything, select all, off we go. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking
about. Okay, so I have not been on iRacing since I did that.
Your life is about to change for the better. In fact, this update is so valuable that it pays for 10 years of iRacing. I'm okay saying that.
What are you talking about?
What's iRacing? $10 a month, right? By the time you do the Black Friday deal and all this kind of stuff. So it's $120 a year. So 10 years of iRacing is $1,200. How much does it cost to get a new video card? About $1,200, and that's if you pay retail. Guess what? This update gives you 25% more frames per second.
Really?
Not kidding. Yes. So you're going to jump in that car, and your frames, whatever they were, maybe you had 140 before today, all of a sudden that is going to go up by 25%. No joke. It's amazing. It's game changing. Because all of a sudden you can say, hey, what other options? I was happy with the frames I had. What other options can I turn on? What other shadows can I turn on? Whatever, you know, whatever setting that you maybe had to turn off.
No kidding. And like across the board, like
at road courses, I don't know if it has as much of an effect at oval tracks. They don't really call them out. They say it helps the most at road courses.
Yep.
I'll be interested to try it at oval tracks. I always had pretty good frame rates there. You know, yesterday before I got the update, or maybe 2 days ago before I got the update, I dabbled in overclocking my 3080 again. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of go back to that well to see if I was missing something. I bumped it by like 350 megahertz or some of this kind of stuff. I got 7 frames. So I went from 140 to 147 in the little spot that I was testing in.
Yep.
I went back to that same spot. I got 165. I went from 140 to 165 just by installing this hotfix update.
Okay. Do you have any technical googly goop for us? Like what did they do? Like does anything look different?
No, everything looks the same, so it didn't cost us anything in terms of appearance. What they said was the track surface decal rendering system, so the TSD, has been optimized to greatly reduce the number of primitive drawing calls to render a scene. So I think what they're doing is all the stickers that kind of go on top of the underlying track, maybe with tire marks and rubber and, you know, marbles and all that kind of dirt, all that kind of stuff. They were doing it in a way that was costing a lot of frames.
Yeah.
And so they've kind of made that more efficient. So I hope they do more of this. They call this technical debt, going back and fixing and improving and making things more efficient. What more could we, the iRacing community, ask for than basically a whole new graphics card? This is like a generational skip.
Well, that's awesome. I wonder if it's an improvement for VR as well.
Well, that's the other thing. Yes, it's a huge improvement for VR. You can kind of see that on Reddit and some of the other discussion forums. People are saying absolutely.
Wow.
Yep.
You're right. It really is a big deal.
I know I'm geeking out about it, but it is.
Like, I was really lucky that I landed myself a nice fancy GPU. So I'm able to kind of like go in and turn everything on, everything that I've ever wanted, like turn it all on high kind of thing. But even with the best hardware out there, you're kind of pushing the limits if you just want to turn everything on high. It's a bit of a graphics hog.
Yeah.
So it's really cool that they've cleaned it up. You know, they've just made it more efficient, you know, for lack of a better word, I guess. Literally, it's like you could have a 2060 GPU and now all of a sudden you have a 3080.
Yep.
Wow, that's awesome.
They keep sneaking these things in like they had that.
That's
sort
a
of,
big sneak in.
It is. This one's even bigger than that little lighting tweak they made a week ago, which we got all excited about. I mean, we got new trees coming. We got rain coming, new grass model still out in our future as we speak. It's a good time to be an iRacer.
That's awesome.
I hope there's more to come, more of these little hidden gems to pop in with the next hot fix on a Tuesday or whatever, they sneak in.
Like grass?
Yeah. Maybe they enable the grass one day. Maybe next week they enable the grass. Surprise us.
Some tone mapping, Josh?
Oh, I love it when you say tone mapping, Rob. All right, enough geek stuff for now. Let's.
All right, thanks for digging into the history.
I love it, as you can tell.
I am not looking at our notes. I'm just going to wait and see what you want to talk about next.
Well, there was a little bit of controversy last week with one of our F1 racers that spends time in the iRacing community, Max Verstappen.
Oh, Max.
So here's what Max did. Everyone can go watch Dan Suzuki, one of the big streamers. One of his most recent videos, Max was in a GT3, Dan Suzuki was in a GTE, and there's IMSA race or LMPs out there in front. Everyone had kind of broken into their groups.
Yep.
And Max jumped the start. I don't know if he guessed when the green flag was going to go, whatever, watched where the LMPs were on track or something like that, but came flying past all the GTEs as the lead GT3. It seemed, there was a big discussion on our Discord around it. Different people feel different ways. Mm-hmm. Some people say, hey, you're not supposed to do that. Not good. Others kind of said, but it's Max. Like, we're lucky to have him. Like, yeah, he can do whatever he wants. Like, was sort of the vibe.
I don't agree with that, but
I don't know though. Tony Kanaan, Max Verstappen, Alonso, these guys, are we lucky enough to have them that we just kind of let them do whatever they want?
No.
Should someone protest Max?
Yeah.
You think iRacing would do anything?
Well, they could send him a note saying, hey, your race start was in violation of the rules, so don't try and do that again.
They did ban Scott Speed. I think he did some intentional wrecking or something like that. It was, it was pretty blatant. It wasn't just jumping a start. Jumping a start's pretty blatant, though.
The issue here is that the GTE car had not crossed the start-finish line yet. The green, goes green, green, green. Mm-hmm. Crew chief is yelling at you. And then all of a sudden you look through your mirror and you see Max Verstappen blowing by in a GT3 car.
Yeah, he blew past 14
cars. And are you allowed to? And you're not allowed to. Like, according to the rules, one of our Discord teammates put up the rule, and it's pretty blatant. You can't. You have to hold speed, and you can't jump to start like that. Fair enough. But the question came up is, when does that green light come up? When do you get that green, green, green? Because it's not at the exact same time. It's a bit of a rolling target, right? You never know exactly when it's going to happen. And one of the guys on our Discord suggested it starts when the pit car crosses the pit line going into the pits. So I guess the yellow cones, right? So it's any time after that.
Oh, any time after that. Sort of a random number.
It can't happen
number.
Before that. So the pit car has to get into the pits. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere between then and when you cross the start-finish line is when the green light can go. But if the leader accelerates away, that will trigger the green, 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 which I thought was an interesting piece. And in fact, he says here, the green flag is triggered when the leader goes. It can trigger as soon as the pace car crosses the entry to the pit road or as late as the start finish line. Not sure if the leader has to be at full throttle for the actual green to go, but it does seem quick, maybe 1 second or so. It's a very unofficial answer, but I thought that was interesting. That iRacing is looking at the leader and looking at a telemetry scenario and using that as a baseline for when they're going to show a green, green, green.
Are we lucky to have these professional racers out there and we kind of look the other way when they do stuff like that? I don't know. It is cool that we have these guys. I don't like them to do controversial things. I'll let this one slide, though. Well, I was in a race with Nim Cross last week. I wasn't in the race. I was ghosting a race with Nim Cross, and someone got all hot and bothered and used a sort of like a seventh grade bad word to talk to someone else, not a straight up curse word. And someone else came on the radio and said, "I wouldn't do that in this race if I were you."
He's the guy that judges all the protests, right?
He's the chief steward. The second guy to come on, he didn't explain why I wouldn't do that if I were you. He just said, "I wouldn't do that if I were you in this race."
That's awesome.
Yeah. That was funny.
Okay, what's on our list, Josh?
I don't think we talked about this last week because it came out after the season, but the Mercedes F1 car for the current season and for next season are coming. So that's interesting. Maybe we can talk about that as that gets closer, but it'll be interesting to see if there's much uptake on those. I think when these really high-end cars come in, the community is excited, and then no one ends up racing them. So maybe this time I'll
think
be different.
IR01,
the McLaren F1, the Williams F1.
I have a lot of expensive cars sitting in my garage, and the IR01 is one of them.
Yeah.
And the podcast, we were talking about how we were going to do a whole season competing against one another.
We started. We did two, I think.
We did one. We did Watkins Glen.
Oh, we never did the second.
No, we didn't. Anyway, keep going.
All right. Brazilian stock cars are coming in 2022. I think that's interesting. It kind of fills out global racing series. One of the community members on our Discord had kind of said that the Brazilian stock cars are similar to NASCAR or V8 supercars, where it's all the same car under a different skin. Maybe that'll be some great racing, but that's been announced as coming in the near future. Rob, you have a big upgrade over the last couple weeks. You want to tell us about it? It's kind of a companion to that shiny new video card that you worked so hard to get.
My monitors.
Your monitors.
Oh, I love them.
They're big. They're 1440. What? Tell us all the good things about 32-inch monitors.
So I had 27-inch 1080 monitors. I was totally happy. I mean, how fortunate was I to have the room in my house to be able to have three monitors, and I was like king of the world. But I really wanted to like go to the 1440s. And then I had to ask myself, well, do you go the 32s over the 27s? You know, it's like another $100 a monitor. Do you really need it? And I was like, ah, frick it. I'll do it. So I have 32-inch 1440s. And I don't know. Grass is always greener, I guess. But they're awesome. First off, it is much more clear. You can see cracks in the road. You know, everything is just more crisp. Totally get it. The colors on my monitors are way better than my old monitors. Like everything just is brighter. The reds are more red and so on, which is really cool, right? And two, there's just more screen real estate in iRacing. So cockpit of the car, inside of the car, field of view. I pretty much have 180 degree field of view. I mean, I don't know what my degrees are, 170 or something, but you don't really see anything way over there anyway, you know, like through the corner of your eye. But there's just more screen real estate. And the biggest thing, this is kind of geeky, but in conjunction with me getting my big monitors, I've been moving my seat and steering wheel and everything all around. It's like a new game of mine. I think I'm on like 9th iteration. And for a while there, I had my monitors like way behind my wheelbase. So like they were farther away from me than they ever were before. It gave me a whole different perspective having them further away from me. You know, the steering wheel was literally like up inside my monitor kind of thing, like, you know, blocking my monitor view. And it was pretty cool. So I don't like to recommend like, oh, you'd really need to get 32-inch monitors or 1440s because, you know, we're just lucky to be doing this and meeting cool people from around the world, right? It doesn't matter. But if you are buying monitors, and if you do happen to have an extra $100 per monitor floating around, the 32s are pretty cool.
So the question I have, you've been adjusting the seat position and you know where the monitors sit with your wheelbase and all these kinds of things. Where, if you kind of draw a straight line from your eyes to the monitor, where do they hit? In the middle of
dab
it?
Smack
the
center.
Okay.
So my rig inspiration guy is the Stelian Chepelevsky from the Race Beyond Matter YouTube channel. You know, he's the guy that has just the coolest rig in the world, right? His rig is incredible, and I sent him a note, like just as a comment on his YouTube channel, like, hey, love your This Is My Rig video, which really is awesome. You know, I just got 32-inch monitors. I'm kind of stumped because I have them on top of my wheelbase, but, you know, they're way too high. And he got back to me right away, and he was like, no question. Don't even ask. They go back behind your wheel. Like, they should be dead center with your eyes. All right. Thanks a lot. So I moved them way back. I dropped them down behind my wheel, and then I jumped into iRacing, and wow, that really does make a big difference. Like, it's awesome. I don't know if they really need to be center of the eye. You know, if you use the Dave Sampson FOV calculator off his website, you know, he gives you the instructions on adjusting your vanish Y and all that. There's like calculations and stuff to do. So you can do adjustments to if your eyes are not dead center in the screen. But anyway, Stelian was saying dead center of the screen, you really want that. And I gave it a try, and that's my new rule of thumb. It's pretty awesome. I will say I tried their HDR monitors. They might be like crummy HDR monitors. I don't know. You might want me to edit this out because it's kind of your baby, right? But I tried the HDR. I was with you. We were playing around with it one night. And not for me. I turned it off. I like the poppy colors.
Champagne and caviar aren't for everybody. So
okay. Yeah.
I'm not offended. I do like HDR. I turned it off and I didn't hate what I saw on the screen. And I turned it back on and I loved what I saw though. So
you like heat haze too.
I love heat haze.
I don't like heat haze.
To each their own, right? That's the beauty of it. That's why they're options and not forced on us.
Yep.
Okay, so you got me thinking. I don't know that I will run out tomorrow and trade my 27s for 32s, but something to think about if I'm in the market for new monitors.
You know, this whole thing started with me watching Stellian's rig tour video. I mean, honestly, I watched the video. It boosted my creative energy. I wanted to make my rig more like a car, more realistic, you know. I'm going to make netting on the side of you to sort of enclose you in your cockpit seat. But I dropped my seat down, so the bottom is really low and the front is really high. So I did that seat adjustment kind of thing. I raised my pedals. I stiffened up my pedals. I got a 3D printer, and that allowed me to print little spacers for my Fanatec V3 pedals. So I got rid of my clutch, and I spread my pedals apart. And now I have, you know, my brake. I don't have to brake sort of sideways. So my knee is happy now. I shouldn't say that. I just did it today. My knee's going to be happy now, right? Yeah. It just feels better. I'm doing it right now as I push. It's just like symmetric movement. And I think that's really cool. I'm really looking forward to getting in the car and using some of that extra 25% FPS, checking that out, and driving with my new pedal positions. I put a seat slider on my pedal tray as well, so that if a smaller person wants to sit in my rig and give it a go, you know, it's a little more adjustable.
I want to talk about the 3D printer, but one thing on the brake pedal, you mentioned that you made the brake pedal harder, and I've always kind of read that, hey, if you're driving a race car, the pedals are really hard because I guess part of it is your muscle memory is better for pressure than it is for movement on your legs. Talked about it in the last podcast. I made that change. You made that change. It's really kind of made me more consistent. I really have gotten used to it. And I said, wait, I'm on the second to hardest setting. Let's go all the way. And I did. And it was too much. And I switched it back. So to me, there is such a thing as making it too hard. I needed a little bit of movement there. Someday I may go back to the well and try it on the absolute hardest. But I've really, over the last 2 to 3 weeks, really enjoyed kind of having that harder rather than just the default whatever rubber came on my pedal set.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Do you have a clutch?
I have a clutch. Yeah. I haven't really used it because I've got paddle shifters.
Is your brake pedal like you know, kind of off center, kind of closer to your gas pedal?
It is. I separated them. Yeah, exactly what you went through, because my knee was hurting, and with the Husingfeld out of the box, you have to keep them really close together, and I had to get a special adapter on Amazon.
Oh, you did move them?
I did move them. Yeah. Oh, okay. And yeah. I did it out of necessity, my knee. I mean, every day I'd sit down and you spend a couple hours in here with your knee in the wrong spot and you're going to pay for it. So,
Yep.
For me, it was a comfort thing, but it just feels better to have them kind of spaced like you would on a cart, you know. So you've discovered a hobby within the hobby. You've alluded to it as we've been talking here, but 3D printing is kind of your new sort of kick something off and then check back a couple hours later. You've inspired a movement in Discord. I think all kinds of people are looking at printers, or in my case, maybe thinking about dusting off the one they have. Yeah.
It all started, I wanted a toggle switch and a push button start for my car. You know, like a nice LED lit engine start button is what I want. So it meant, okay, I'm going to build my own button box. Won't that be fun? And then I thought, well, I'm going to need to, it's another thing that I want to 3D print, then I need to like make a box for it. But there's been a number of sim riggy things that I always wished I had a 3D printer for. You printed some stuff for me, like way back when, some Logitech mods for my G29 and that kind of stuff. But, you know, there are cable clips that I just haven't got around to paying $20 for a dozen ordering them. There were these mods for my pedals so that I could separate them. tell you, that thing I'm really excited about is I printed that block that you can put onto your 8020 rig to store your steering wheel, you know, the little slot to put your Fanatec wheel in. And it's awesome because now my wheels aren't lying on the floor. I'm watching you on Zoom right now. We don't often do this on Zoom. And there's your wheels sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
You know? I have two wheels. I have a formula wheel and like a round wheel. So you and I could be playing around in a Porsche and then decide, hey, let's do a NASCAR race. And I grab the round wheel. But now I don't need to get it in my rig and go across the room and da-da-da-da. So really like that. Lots of cable clips. I'm a really big fan of having this like cable-less sim rig, you know, mm-hmm. where you don't see any cables. 3D printed multiple cable connectors and so on. Yeah, I haven't even gotten to my button box yet, but looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's inspiring to see all the fun things you're discovering and just crank it out.
Thanks, Stellion.
Yeah.
I was all watching his rig video, right?
He's a cool cat. I'm glad you've kind of discovered him. And
so passionate, right?
Yep, I love it. So, you know, you talked about wires. I just wanted to do a quick update. I've invested, I don't know, 6 hours in cleaning up wires. I'm probably 40% done. There's a lot left to do. I'm having fun with it, though. I'm listening to just podcasts, or I put YouTube video on, and just kind of, it's a fun little way to pass a rainy Saturday afternoon. I had a couple of those recently, so.
I saw a picture of your rig when you started.
And it was a fire hazard.
It was a fire hazard. Like, I couldn't believe the amount of cabling.
It wasn't cool or geeky. It was just a disaster.
It was literally, it was like a meme.
Yeah, the server room, yeah. It feels good. You feel just better sitting down after you do that.
So, Josh, is there anything else on your list?
No, I think that we've covered everything I had in mind.
That was an awesome chat.
All kinds of good stuff. Every week, there's something fun to talk about.
So if you've enjoyed the show, please hit that follow button wherever you're listening to your podcasts.
If you have comments, you can send us an email at everydayiracers@gmail.com. If you want to talk about all the same stuff that we do every week, join our Discord. There's a whole community out there of like-minded everyday iRacers talking about all of these things every day of the week. You'll find the link for that Discord in the description of this podcast.
And if you don't send us an email and you don't join our Discord, that's A-OK, but we hope to see you on the track.